This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Lori Richards with this week's Register. Our first story, Cancer Center Schedules Opening. Greendale, the St. Elizabeth Healthcare Cancer Center, is ready to open. It will officially open at a ribbon cutting Monday, April 29th. The center near the Interstate 275 and US 50 interchange will provide cutting-edge cancer care and easier access to cancer screenings, prevention, and treatment for patients in southeastern Indiana, according to St. Elizabeth. The opening of the St. Elizabeth Dearborn Cancer Center is a significant milestone in our goal to provide compassionate, top-tier cancer care, said Garen Colvin, President and Chief Executive Officer of St. Elizabeth Healthcare. We believe everyone in our community deserves world-class care close to home, and that's exactly what we are bringing to southeastern Indiana. The new three-story, 66,000-square-foot building will have state-of-the-art technologies, including on-site radiation oncology for treating a wide array of cancers, such as breast, lung, prostate, and colon cancers. The center integrates highly precise radiation oncology services with current treatment plans, including infusion services. A new Dearborn County, Dearborn Hospital, is expected to be built next to it with a scheduled opening in 2027. Features of the Cancer Center include precision medicine and genomic health, proactive education, screening, and prevention services, innovative diagnostic technology, comprehensive oncology expertise, holistic and preventative care, survivorship support programs, and advanced support services for care plans. The Dearborn Cancer Center is a testament to our commitment to revolutionizing cancer care, said Dr. Douglas Flora, Executive Medical Director of Oncology Services at St. Elizabeth Healthcare. We envision a world where we can detect cancer early and treat it effectively with our multidisciplinary team and advanced technology. We're poised to make a substantial impact on the lives of those we serve, promoting both health and healing right here in Indiana. For more details about the services offered at the Cancer Center, visit stelizabeth.com. Community service in Aurora. Aurora students from South Dearborn High School earned community service hours by working throughout the city on April 19th. The annual Community Service Day is sponsored by Main Street Aurora, which partners with Aurora Utilities, Aurora Street Department, and Aurora Parks and Recreation. It gives senior members and freshmen time to help the community. Last Friday, 9 faculty, 80 students, 17 Civista Bank employees, and other community volunteers worked throughout the city. Several students helped weed and clean the area at the intersection of US 50 and 2nd Street. Other areas where the students worked were ball fields, Hill Forest, Riverview Cemetery, and the City Clerk Treasurer Office. Southwest Schools Board Hear Expansion and Alternate School by Laura A. Hobson. Harrison. Southwest Local School District Board, at its meeting on March 21st, heard plans to expand classrooms at Crosby Elementary School. The district wants to add 8 classrooms and wants to break ground in August. The board was expected to discuss the plan at its meeting Thursday, April 18th. Crosby Elementary School is one of the highest performing elementary schools in the state, Superintendent John K. Hamstra said. The district wants to keep its students and looked at ways of doing that not only with the curriculum, but also with facilities. Members looked at other schools as models. William Henry Harrison High School principal Joe Pollitt proposed a second high school in Entony separate from the high school, but still within the SLSD. This would house a rebranded Wildcat Academy and a 9-12 virtual school. It would offer a different diploma from the traditional high school diploma. He said as of March 15th, there were 41 students in the current Wildcat Academy in grades 7 to 12. He said, as of the same date, 42 students had withdrawn from the high school to enroll in an online charter school. The new virtual school will be a fully online learning environment, he said. We are hoping to provide the same alternative online school that 42 students this year have withdrawn to attend, Pollitt said. The Wildcat Academy initially launched as a half-day alternative program for credit-deficient 11th and 12th graders. It now includes 13 9th and 10th graders and two junior school students, he said. The rebranded academy will offer instruction in employability and soft skills as well as supervision in the workplace. Pollitt proposed hiring a virtual school coordinator to supervise the school. Timing to establish this school is July 1st. School staff will reach out to parents whose kids have left the district to see if they are interested in returning. Pollitt said the proposal will be presented again Thursday for final approval. If approved, it will begin with the new school year. Also at the March 21st meeting, board member Mike King was celebrating his 10th year on the board. There are wonderful people in the district. It makes me proud, said King, who indicated he will probably not run for re-election next year. Three Crosby Elementary School students were honored for their contributions, Jackson Cable, Milani Mays, and Faith Dickinson. The board has hired Amanda Bloom as the Human Resources Director. She is a 2003 graduate of the high school with 10 years of experience. This is the first time the district has had an HR director, Hamstra said. Human resources has evolved over the years. With over 4,600 students, maybe we need an HR person. Community picnic is this Saturday. Lawrenceburg. The city's annual community picnic will take over the streets around Civic Park this Saturday, April 27th. The picnic is from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the park at Short and High Streets. The opening ceremonies by Mayor Kelly Malone will be at noon, followed by P.G. Gentrop and the Southeast Indiana Color Guard with Vietnam Veterans Chapter 71 sharing a salute to the military. The national anthem will be sung by Logan Gilb. The Lawrenceburg Legacy Award will be presented at 1 p.m. The event is free. Grill stations and food service lines are being hosted by the city's police, fire, and EMS and city staff. There will be a raffle, but you must be a city resident and must be present to win. Carnival rides will be going throughout the picnic. Tree Giveaways Highlight Arbor Day by Laura A. Hobson. Greendale. Trees are being given away in two communities in honor of Arbor Day. The day was officially Monday, April 22nd, but Friday is the day Greendale and the Dearborn Soil and Water Conservation District is helping plant more trees. Greendale is one city that celebrates trees with Arbor Day. Fifth graders from Central Elementary School in Lawrenceburg will participate in events on Friday in Greendale. We will host two sets of three classes at Greendale Cabin. Kids will plant a crabapple tree, do environmentally related crafts, including creating bird nest material stations, said Linda C. Cromer, Greendale Parks Board President, who is organizing the event along with other board members. We will drop off seedlings at the school for each child who attended, Cromer added. In addition, seedlings are available for residents at the Utilities Building on Ridge Avenue through Friday, April 26th. This is the 21st year the city has sponsored the event. The Soil and Water Conservation District is distributing to county landowners a white pine or persimmon tree sapling while supplies last from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday at Bright Meadows Park at 2095 Einsel Road, according to Kyla Dick, District Representative. The white pine grows from 50 to 80 feet and spreads to 20 to 40 feet at maturity. It needs to be planted in well-drained soil with medium moisture and in full to part sun. The persimmon tree will grow to 35 to 60 feet and spread 20 to 35 feet at maturity. It needs to be planted in well-drained soil with medium moisture and full sun. Soil and Water District representatives will collect canned goods for food pantries and financial donations for Dearborn County Parks. Harrison celebrated the day on Tuesday, April 23rd at the city's tree board meeting. 50 willow oak saplings were given out, which has a dense canopy and are tolerant of an urban environment and can grow 2 feet per year. Arborist Paige Johnson of Bartlett Tree Service spoke about native trees. The first Arbor Day was in 1872 when J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, according to Wikipedia. Morton was a Nebraska newspaper editor and politician who served as President Grover Cleveland's Secretary of Agriculture. Arts Council calling for Works for Exhibit. Lawrenceburg. The Dearborn Highlands Art Council Gallery is calling for entries for artists in a variety of mediums, including painting, drawing, mixed media, sculpture, and more. The 7th annual exhibition aims to highlight local and regional artists and celebrate the diverse perspectives and voices in visual culture. The exhibition is open to everyone. Artists are welcome to submit up to 2 entries. All artists will be exhibited, one or both artworks as gallery space permits. The exhibition will be judged. Cash prizes will be awarded. Artworks must be delivered Thursday, April 25th and Friday, April 26th. The exhibition runs from May 2nd to June 28th, with a reception from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, June 28th. Awards will be announced during the reception. Application and guidelines available by contacting the Dearborn Highlands Art Council at dearbornarts@comcast.net. New Mental Health Crisis Care Center opening by Haley Garr. Lawrenceburg. Encompass Healthcare will open a new crisis care center to help people with their mental health issues. The grand opening will take place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday, April 25th at 285 Bilby Road. The ribbon cutting will begin with a welcome speech and ribbon cutting from Encompass President and CEO Greg Duncan, followed by a tour and refreshments. Encompass Healthcare, formerly Community Mental Health Center, CMHC, was founded in 1967 to meet the needs of southeastern Indiana community by becoming the region's first behavioral health organization. The Crisis Care Center is part of the 988 initiatives. This addition will allow folks to call 988 and be redirected to Encompass, said Duncan. It will also take some of the burden off of law enforcement. There will be a separate door for police to come through. The idea is to get them, the officers, in and out while we handle the mental health crisis. The 988 initiative is a suicide and crisis lifeline that is a direct connection to specialists who are trained in suicide and crisis prevention. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, you can call or text 988 from anywhere in Indiana 24/7, according to 988indiana.org. Encompass currently provides services to the Dearborn and Ohio counties and Franklin, Ripley, and Switzerland counties. Services include behavioral health, addiction services, and psychiatric care. The Crisis Care Center provides a place to go for immediate mental health assistance for all ages. Working at the center will be peer support specialists, nurses, and therapists, and it will have access to on-call psychiatrists and primary care providers. It's the goal for each patient is to set up a game plan on where they to go from where they when they are admitted. The center is not a place to stay for an extended amount of time, but a resource to visit in times of need. I have worked in behavioral health since the mid-90s. This job was the next step I wanted to take. I continue to be very involved in behavioral health. It's just my passion, said Duncan, when explaining why he is putting so much work into this opening. Following the grand opening, the center will be fully up and running on May 1st. It will be open Monday through Friday at all hours with hopes to be completely 24/7 in the future. Paris to Paris Olympics becomes reality by Jim Buchberger. State College, Pennsylvania, Lawrenceburg's Mason Paris, who will represent the USA in the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris, France, starting July 26, said it best himself after winning the Olympic freestyle wrestling trials, 125-kilogram heavyweight title, Saturday at Penn State University. "I think it's destiny," the bare-chested grappler told a TV interviewer after his 7-0 second-round clincher at Penn State's Bryce Jordan Center. "I think the planets align perfectly for me. I'm 24 years old and it's 2024. Paris in Paris. There can't be anything better. I love it." Paris, who had the advantage of a bye to the trials final round by merit of his past performances, swept the best of three championships against Hayden Zilmer at 125 kilogram freestyle, winning both matches 7-0 to make his second straight U.S. senior team. The three-time IHSAA state champion for Lawrenceburg High School and NCAA national champion for the University of Michigan advanced directly to the finals after claiming world bronze last fall. In Saturday's 125-kilogram finals, the 2023 NCAA Dan Hodge Trophy winner, collegiate wrestling's equivalent to football's Heisman Trophy, took an early 1-0 lead on a passivity point charged to former North Dakota State wrestler Zilmer in both matches. He finished both 7-0 wins with three takedowns. Paris scored on a first-period high crotch and added two-second-period go-behind takedowns in the first bout. In Saturday's second and final match, he exploded for three-second-period takedowns, a double leg on the edge, a quick athletic spin-out off Zilmer's low single shot, and a late go-behind to ice the victory. Lawrenceburg's well-accomplished heavyweight champion now has medaled in all five of his senior-level tournaments since graduating from Michigan last spring. In addition to his 2023 World Championships bronze medal, he claimed 125-kilogram gold at the UWW ranking tournament in Hungary last July, along with winning golds in a pair of Pan American appearances. Paris also took a bronze medal at the Zagreb Open in Croatia in January. Cheering their wrestler from the front row seat Saturday were Mason's parents, Mark and Shay Paris, sister Paxton Paris, and girlfriend McKenna White. Mason Paris represented Michigan's Cliff Keen Wrestling Club at the Olympic trials last weekend. The University of Michigan wrestling program swept both men's heavyweight spots on the 2024 U.S. Olympic team as alumni Paris and Adam Kuhn won at 125-kilogram freestyle and 130-kilogram Greco-Roman respectively at the trials. Five Wolverines are qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympics. Paris and Kuhn joined fellow alums Stephen Misic, 57 kilogram freestyle, Serbia, and Miles Amin, 86 kilogram freestyle, San Marino, and graduate student Austin Gomez, 65 kilogram freestyle from Mexico. It will be the first Olympic Games for both heavyweights as well as Gomez. Kuhn won the U.S. Olympic trials in 2021 but did not make weight for the Tokyo Games. The Games of the 33rd Olympiad are scheduled for July 26 and August 11th in the French capital. The wrestling events involving 288 wrestlers in 18 different weight categories will be contested the final week, August 5th through 11th, at Grand Palace Éphémère in Champ-de-Mars. LHS Sophomore Leading State Association by Mark Emerald. Lawrenceburg. Aiden Cirque has been in student government since he was in the sixth grade. The now Lawrenceburg High School sophomore is the president of the Indiana Association of Student Councils, helping to run an organization that has a variety of programs that develop leadership and councils throughout the state. His work for the group comes because he wants to give back to the community. The reason I stay in it is because I like to be involved in community service and that kind of stuff, Cirque said. I enjoy dances and homecoming and all that, but my favorite part is the community service and helping others. It's just really important to me, and Student Council allows me to do a lot of that. His past community service has included a drive to help refugees from Afghanistan and donating canned goods to the clearinghouse in Aurora. Then this year, I chaired the Thanksgiving Kids Committee, where we get sides and you put them in a kit and we donate to the clearinghouse. So basically, we supply all the sides a family would need to go with a Thanksgiving dinner, whereas the clearinghouse would provide the meat, he said. LHS's Student Council Advisor Carmen Lusk, who is also the Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Student Councils, said Cirque is a well-rounded student. He knows where he needs to put his fires out and where he needs to keep them going, Lusk said, and he's pretty good at juggling, and he has me to help them at both levels. LHS Principal Jared Liker said Cirque shows his natural leadership throughout the school. I think he just represents and shows all the positive things we're doing down here in Southeast Indiana, Liker said. Sometimes you get outside of the loop and we're not as connected as the rest, but I think he represents us well and represents a school of our size well, and he's truly a leader, and that's what he wants to pursue in life. So I think those things are nothing but positive. Lusk said Cirque's responsibilities as president includes coordinating many of the events, getting new people on the committee, and mentoring those on the committee. He also is working on the association's National Student Council Conference in New Mexico this summer. The association will come up with a statewide project, and Cirque is leaning towards something with the mental health of students. We try to base our state projects on something that's an issue among people in our age group and in our communities and mental health. For the last couple of years, especially, has come out on top, like on issues about what teens are facing. So that's why we chose for their state project, Cirque said. Other school activities he's involved in include Key Club, Hope Squad, and the Breakfast Club. When not in school, he likes to go on vacations and play with his dogs, Forrest and Lucy. I try to enjoy the time off that I get, and I do get time off here and there, Cirque said. But I do focus on school and my activities, but I like hanging around my family. I used to do track, but I don't anymore. I worked at Perfect North. He also works at Lawrenceburg Speedway at a concession stand. His family includes his twin sister Ella and his mom and stepdad, Amanda McCartney and Nick Fralick. At the high school, Cirque is on a business pathway, but plans to be a lawyer. It's just something I've always been like interested in. I think it's community service aspect. I want to help people. Rising Sun Foundation awards new grants. Rising Sun. The Rising Sun Regional Foundation has awarded a total of $248,439 in new grants in the first quarter of 2024. Those grants included $20,000 to Amy Ironsmeyer Foundation for the Shade Toppers at the Aurora Dog Park, $15,000 to the City of Rising Sun for a new welcome sign, $6,927 to Heart House for medication safety lockers, $5,000 to the Milan Community School Corporation for supplies and curriculum for Milan Cares Central, $15,000 to Napoleon Community Rural Water Corporation for a preliminary engineering report, $25,000 to Otter Creek Township Volunteer Fire Department for a first responder vehicle, $75,000 to Ripley County Food Pantry for a walk behind forklift, $28,000 to Ripley County Highway Department for spreaders and a V-Box, $20,000 to Rising Sun Municipal Utilities for an advanced metering infrastructure project, $32,500 to Rising Sun Ohio County Community School Corporation for a K-2 playground, $25,000 to Southeastern Indiana YMCA for a makerspace, $40,000 to Tyson Library for exterior renovations and repairs, and $8,512 to Versailles Volunteer Fire Department for a fire attack hose. Grant applications for the second grant cycle are in 2024 are due by 4 p.m. Monday, April 15th. Applications must be submitted online by the foundation's website, www.rsrfonline.org. The Rising Sun Regional Foundation serves Ohio and Ripley counties and the cities of Aurora and Batesville. The Rising Sun Regional Foundation was created in 1994 by the City of Rising Sun and is now funded by the Rising Star Casino and Resort, owned by Full House Resorts Incorporated, which makes monthly contributions to the foundation based on a percentage of its adjusted gross revenue. To date, the foundation has received more than $46 million in casino funds, of which at least 75% has been granted back to the community. And with that, we've come to the end of the time. This is Lori Richards with this week's Register. Have a wonderful day.